No, we don't talk about Star Trek.
Now, if you want a really well-written sci-fi series, Star Wars. That's where it's at.
Oh, drink.
You just want a drink.
Welcome to the Classic Cult TV Club, where we watch cult TV from 20 years ago and before, so you don't have to. And today we're here with Cassandra.
Hey.
Angus.
Hello.
Baylor.
Hi.
Mackenzie.
Hi.
Lisa.
Hey guys, I think I'm just, you're bringing me down, all right? Just calm down, all right?
And Jeanette.
Hey guys, Rentals are ready.
We picked the same one. I should have gone for the other one.
Guys, dinner's on the floor if you want it.
I thought it was because I can turn into a bat.
No.
Because okay. Jeanette based a character around Neil.
Same inspiration, Eeyore. Same inspiration, all comes from Eeyore.
Yeah. I love Eeyore. Eeyore's just such a gem. Anyway, who are you?
I'm Justin. And we're watching, what was it again? Oh, that's right. Young Ones.
It's a redemption.
It's a redemption. So what did we watch last time?
We watched last time Oil.
Oil.
Because I was on a picture.
Oil.
It was 5 years ago. I picked it, and these two here were completely underwhelmed by the episode.
Sorry, you can't point at people.
You can't say these two people.
I was one of them for sure.
These two young people. Here.
Mackenzie?
Mackenzie wasn't born yet.
We've been going
that was only
that
5 years ago.
Yeah, 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Her head is exploding.
You've grown up 10 years in only five.
I do need to say, I guess Baylor and Angus were very underwhelmed by the episode.
I think also, I remember your critique was, it was as though they hadn't prepared their craft properly yet. That they could have been good characters, but it was just so brand new.
Undercooked.
Something along
that's
line.
Interesting, because that was what, first episode season one? No.
Third episode season
one. Yeah.
It wasn't first episode.
And then this one is halfway through season
two, I believe.
So we're
watching Nasty, is that right?
Nasty. Which, so to me, I think if we were going to go Young Ones, there were two episodes I would have picked, and that was Oil and Nasty.
Yeah, and we watched Oil.
Yeah, and so I feel like Oil was a really great episode. It was... it was a good episode if we were going to pick one, but I just really wanted to rewatch Young Ones. So, This one has a very special place in my heart because I think I said a few episodes back when we were talking about it that when I was a kid, we had on our beta taped off of the ABC, we had an episode of Spitting Image, which... It's probably a little bit more forgotten about now, but it was a show where they had lifelike puppets and they would parody politics and TV and things like that.
UK because it was basically their major satirical news show. Yeah. So it's very well known in Britain, but not anywhere else.
So it was a massive... It was a long episode of Spitting Image, so it must have been a special or something like that. And then we had, at the end of it, I don't know whether they taped it, at the end of Spinning Image, they had an episode of The Young Ones, Nasty. And we watched the living daylights out of both episodes to the point, and when I got my DVDs of The Young Ones, my sister and I could just quote the whole episode from heart because we've just, it been ingrained from a young age.
So this is going to be fun viewing for us.
I won't do that. It's been a while since I've watched this.
Quite so it. I'm just going to say,
have we got a video? I'm not gonna.
So someone I know really likes The Young Ones and raved about it a lot, and I think it was their hype that I just couldn't get behind.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially because, I mean, this is a series that's pretty well hyped amongst people who love it, so if you think it's overrated, then you're going to loathe it.
I'm going to be really curious to see whether it's a product of its time, because... Videos aren't around anymore.
Oh, yeah.
The whole point of hiring a VCR for the weekend to be able to...
and Video Nasties, like, I'm sure...
Video Nasties are still... You know, that whole Blumhouse channel is all Video Nasties. That's the whole point, isn't it?
Yeah, but it's also the fact that if I wanted something horrible, I could find things that would make your hair curl, things that would probably be illegal online in, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And so basically the visceral... horror that comes from the trash that was floating around on VCRs, VHS back in the 80s would be nothing compared to now. So it's lost everything completely.
Yeah,
and I mean, Video Nasty was
to
like
a world that watch. Yeah, Mackenzie should be within the brackety maybe, but we definitely were. Angus and I, we were in a world where we watched people get gutter stomped and murdered,
yeah,
and they were cycling through the internet.
Yeah. Oh God, what was that website? Was it Rotten?
Something Rotten.com, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of shock sites and a few memes that are very bad taste.
You see, I had one friend that loved shock videos and distributed them, and so I just never clicked on any link they ever sent. Yeah. I just never.
Whereas
half
I'm
the time I pretended that I was doing it. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll click on that, and then didn't click on it.
Yeah.
And then like in the voice chat with them, I'm going, oh no, and they were like, ha, 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 got you. And I'm like, you definitely did, mate. Well done.
I used to have a friend. Who was in the next office, and he would say, I just sent you a video. Oh, where is it? I deleted it. Oh, just I'll send it to you again. He'd rush in. I sent it to you. Now let's watch it. No, I just deleted it.
Yeah, no.
See, the only shock video I'm into is pimple popping.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's great. No, it's fun. And, like, hoof cleaning videos.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very demure.
There's something
very cutesy.
Very enjoyable about the ones where they're cleaning the carpets. Is that the same type of thing?
Yeah. And, like, crushing things.
Oh, there was one. Here we go. Yes.
Breaking ice as well, watching that just, fun.
And I think the Video Nasty thing, it wasn't so much shock, it was just needless gore. And it was like that pretend gore where you'd have like ridiculous amounts of blood spurting out and things like that in a horror movie, and it was just really over the top.
I feel like that's what so much content is nowadays.
Yeah.
This is the thing. Like, if you sit down and watch, like, Game of Thrones is the only one that I can really bring up because it's the only one that I was faced with, but heating up a bucket on a man's chest with a rat inside so that it digs through their chest for escape.
Yeah.
That's the kind of content that's out there now in regular shows.
Yeah.
This was the gore without the storyline.
Someone breaks a leg the wrong way and it looks just horrible.
Yeah, it's just bad physical effects to the point where it's almost humorous, you know? Yeah. It was that type of thing.
Is it the sort of like sausages for guts kind of thing?
Yeah, that type of thing. Yeah.
So that's my favourite type of gore. It's like the old school, absolutely
physical,
terrible.
So this would be like the early 80s, late 70s, that ridiculous, over the top.
Sauce
everywhere.
The Ash vs. the Evil Dead. I don't know.
That's the genre. That is the genre. That was very low budget but became very successful. Mm. And I think that does come under the Video Nasty genre, but a lot of them were just made on a shoestring and ridiculous and no storylines, and, you know, somehow one of the chicks gets a top off and it's all of that type of stuff. I guess you would have really hate watched it. You don't get really invested in the characters. You just want them all to die, don't you?
So it's really interesting because when I was doing my course in creative writing, I only did it for a day because I was really interested in romance, but I wasn't interested in the gore side of things. But basically, gore and romance are one and the same. If they're done really well, people feel emotions because they're both supposed to hit emotions, whether it's fear or whether it's love, whether it's happiness or running scared for your life. But if it's done really poorly, then it's either a hate watch or comedy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so what this thing sounds like, it's just comedy for comedy. Like, you know you're going to sit down for a comedy.
Yeah. So in this episode, they've hired a VCR for the night because they don't have a VCR in their house. And in fact, they're watching TV illegally without a license.
So for kids at home, because obviously we're appealing to like the younger audiences.
Yeah. With watching 20 like years ago TV.
Yeah, so that they don't have to. Yeah. What is a VCR?
Like a video tape. It's a So
what's a video tape?
It was an old school way of watching something, and you would actually
have they got a video that you can
So the way TV works is you have a cathode ray tube.
They hire a video player for the night, and they've got this video that they're going to watch, and it's this huge deal, and they're all going to sit down and watch this movie. But then meanwhile, all of these hijinks ensue. This is their horror episode, their Halloween episode. It's just a bit crazy and chaotic like the shows usually do. But there's a few fun repeating jokes that make it a lot of fun. Put it away.
really the picture with that one.
It's a very enjoyable episode. Yep. So there's a few people that you guys probably won't remember. I'm pretty sure Hale and Pace are in this episode. Does anyone remember them?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember them existing.
If I'm right, if I'm correct, if this is the episode.
Yes.
They always had a...
Grave Diggers.
Yes.
Oh, okay. So,
they would have a few cameos from different up-and-coming comedians at the time. So yeah,
Dawn French is in there.
Oh, yeah.
Is she in this episode?
Yeah,
is she?
Apparently,
yes. Oh!
Is
that the Pain Away segment? Yeah. One of the cool things about the Young Ones is they would always have these really fun kind of chaotic cutaways. And one of them has Dawn French in it, and I think it's really, really fun.
I genuinely like that in old shows where they would showcase up and
Terry Jones
to new people.
Yes, he's the priest, yes.
And upcoming creators. I feel like that's definitely a market that is missed.
And some of them we don't see again, but at the time they were the big ones that were kind of coming through. One of the ones that they show on a few episodes of The Young Ones that ended up going on to do the voice of The Big Nights or something like that.
Oh.
Yeah, and is involved with some of the voice acting stuff in some of those types of shows, Peppa Pig and Big Nights.
Mm.
Do we need to go through the whole backstory? We've already done it before. So this was a show that was created by Ben Elton, Rick Mayall. Yeah. Where would we watch it?
This
one's written by Ben Elton, Rick Mayall, and Lisa Mayer.
Yes. And
it features The Damned.
Lisa Mayer was kind of, I think she was Rick Mayall's girlfriend at the time, but she's also was behind the scenes of a lot of really good BBC shows throughout the 80s and then towards the 90s before she passed away. This is a bit of an obscure reference that I might only get, but there's an episode of Red Dwarf. Has everyone watched it? You guys have all watched it. Remember the episode of Red Dwarf where they...
What's Red Dwarf?
We watched it last time, but...
Did we?
Red Dwarf? No, because the person that's supposed to be editing the podcast hasn't edited it.
Be kind to yourself. There's an episode of Red Dwarf where Lister implants a memory of one of his girlfriends into Rimmer, and he remembers this great love affair. So the girl in question was Lisa Yates, and it's actually spelt the same way as Lisa Mayer because they got the name from her to honour her. So she was kind of one of these people that was always in the background. She was never kind of on camera, but she was instrumental in bringing a lot of the shows that were within the BBC comedy zeitgeist.
That's why you're named Lisa. Right?
No, it's not. It's a different spelling.
Totally this was going to be a Lisa origin
story. No, this is her name was spelled L-I-S-E instead of L-I-S-A.
So. Lisa, you're tearing me apart.
Come on!
Next episode.
Let's do it.
Okay.
So should we watch it?
Have we got the video of it?
Have we got a video?
Is it a tape?
Have we got a video?
No, it's a DVD.
We're going to watch it.
Oh, yeah, I brought my DVD. It comes
on a hard drive. Why don't you stream it? Just to really throw us entirely.
It is on Stan. So if you would like to watch Young Ones, it's on Stan.
I don't.
Well, I do. I'm really curious to see how Kenzie finds this. I don't think she'll like it as much as she's enjoying Red Dwarf at the moment.
Yeah, Red Dwarf is good.
And the other show she's really enjoying at the moment, Community.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, Community's good.
It took her a while. She was going, I'm not going to like this, not going to like this. And it took a few episodes, but you like it, don't you?
Yeah.
Did you watch Young Ones last time with us?
No.
Are you excited to watch Young Ones today?
No.
Early in the piece, even if she was in the room, she refused to watch.
So, do you think you're going to give Young Ones a chance today?
Yeah.
Yeah?
You can watch the Young Ones on YouTube.
Do you think it's going to be enjoyable?
When did it start?
1982.
When did The Simpsons come out?
1989. First full-length episode was 1989 for Christmas special.
But that's American versus English.
Yeah.
Which one's American?
The Simpsons.
Yeah, it might be.
Yeah.
For all those at home, Mackenzie looks incredibly unsure. She's scrunched up her face and is entirely against the idea of watching The Young Ones, but we'll give you an update.
Once in every lifetime, there comes a love like this. Quote, not Young Ones, get on with it!
No, that's...
Monty Python. Yeah. Okay. I said to quote not Young Ones.
Oh, I thought you said to quote Young Ones. No. I was so ready to fight you.
Yeah, no.
With a spoon.
That was Life of Brian?
No, it was Holy Grail. Yeah.
Holy Grail, yes! Get on with it.
And now for something completely different as well, I think. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to hit the play button! Young Ones, coming with the Young Ones. Oh, so that was Young Ones. What do you think, Cass? What do you think, Cassandra?
I think I never like being first, because I don't know what to say. Yeah.
Welcome to my pain.
Cass never gets a chance to get a word in, and then now you can get to talk.
Yeah, but now you're the first, I'm like,
wait, we give you this chance.
And then I realise,
now we're going to take it away.
Yeah. Like, you know, get a chance, and I'm like, I don't have enough time to marinate in my views.
Marinate.
Yeah. It's been
half an hour marinating in the chaos.
Yeah. Yeah, I forgot how much of a sketch show vibe it has throughout the entire thing, but it definitely feels a lot different compared to when I watched it for the first time years ago. And it definitely feels more like a sketch show than a sitcom from last time I remember it. Yeah, and I forgot how much of the characterization is basically just them yelling at each other.
Yes! Yeah. Just abuse.
Yeah, just abuse, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just been thinking, yes, that's probably what university life was like back in the 80s.
A little bit.
It's what life is like in the Millikan household. Like,
hopefully your bathtub's cleaner. I have a look.
I don't think the bathtub's been used
I really want to cover this. I love baths, and I hate this household. Because we can't have baths.
Because you can't be using your bathtub as a storage for containers. It's a very expensive.
Yeah. We've got a tar pit in there.
Yeah.
That's not too dissimilar to the young ones.
Don't make jokes on this podcast.
No one will get one.
No one.
Yeah, no.
We would never do that.
Deadly serious.
Angus.
Yes, that's my name.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, we know.
Was there a question?
Angus is a question, if you phrase it differently. Angus?
Angus?
Yeah. But I answered it. Yeah, that's the name. That was the question I answered.
What did you think of the episode?
Yes, that's a question.
What do you think of it?
Yes. Alex, you were underwhelmed last time. Has your opinion changed this time? Don't worry, Justin, I'll do the job for you.
I don't even remember. No, that's okay. I don't remember last time.
I was implying that with my eyebrows. I had no
memory of the previous episode.
So you can't compare. What did you think of that?
Piecing together what that episode, the previous one, was even about, because they were mining for oil in the basement. But that's all I remember.
Yeah, I don't remember much about it either.
I don't remember my opinions. I don't remember what I said. But yeah, this one, I liked it. I was laughing. It was fun. Mm-hmm.
It was chaotic.
It was very chaotic. It was hard to hear, but that may just be the quality of the quality of the sound.
Yeah, I think it was the quality of the sound.
I don't know if that's unique to the version we have, or if the DVDs are similar where it's
unique to our speakers and the treble control.
Yeah. Mm. I don't know if you've seen this episode on those DVDs at all recently, and if you remember what the sound quality was like, Lisa. But.
Not really, but I don't think it's much different, to be honest.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're kind of hard to understand just because the voices that they put on and they're too busy yelling or they're...
It doesn't help either that they don't do the typical comedy thing where they pause for the laughter.
Yeah.
They don't pause for the laughter. They just go straight into the next line.
Pausing for the laughter.
Yes.
So do I, but it means you kind of miss out on what...
I mean, you can either pause for the laughter or have no laugh track. They didn't do either.
It's interesting as well, because we've started watching the first few episodes of Red Dwarf and introducing Kenzie to it, and one of the things she really can't stand about it is the fact that there's the laughter, and she's going, I don't like the laugh track, and I'm going, that was filmed in front of a studio audience, that's real people laughing, and she's like, I don't like the idea of comedy telling me when I should laugh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is very much a new thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like, probably the first series that I would have watched that had no laugh track would probably be in Scrubs back in 2001.
Yeah.
This was filmed with a studio audience.
Yeah.
Everything was. All comedy was.
It was very much
I agree with Kenzie. I hate the laugh track. But at the same time, as someone who thrives on human interaction, because when I do presentation and stuff, when we went through COVID and I was presenting to cameras and stuff through Zoom and that sort of thing, I found it a lot more disconnected and harder to hit the beats for what I would normally do. Whereas when I first did my presentations and stuff for the art course that I was doing, I was able to go, this is what I did, drop in a joke or two, move on, show what I've learned. And it felt like I had a bit more of a rapport and a bit more bounce to it. So I understand why they do it, but I genuinely hate it too.
Yeah, but also just thinking the way you do comedy to an audience is different to the way they're doing comedy now with, especially a lot of the shows I like now are mockumentaries. And you tell jokes differently in that environment.
Yeah.
Whereas there's a lot of jokes in here that work as we have a studio audience and we're playing to the audience.
Mm. They work. Yes. It's so theatrical.
It's like watching a stage play.
But this felt more pandering.
Yeah.
I think that's what the difference is the shows like in Scrubs, it's not as pandering to the audience. Mm. It's more, this is a funny joke. Here's Dr. Cox saying his long list of funny things. And you couldn't do that, I think, live in front of the studio audience because you'd start getting people laughing at the start or not knowing when to laugh. And so I feel like...
It can be a lot more quick with the jokes and a variety of jokes compared to having to do the entire skit from beginning to end because that's how you have to do it in a stage show and a live recording.
They were still editing. So there was a TV series a couple of years ago, a fictional comedian in the 1950s, and it was showing, you know, how they made comedy shows in that era in front of the audience and the process. And it was actually interesting because I'd never fully understood how it was done before until I watched this series.
Yeah, I learned through watching Lena and Woodley and the behind the scenes for that.
I
found it really interesting that most of the time it's just one take because you can't really go back and do it again.
And if you did do it again, they know the joke already and they wouldn't laugh.
Yeah, and it wasn't as funny the second time. Mm. And so they basically, there's a scene where Frank Woodley has like a tantrum and he drags himself across a whole heap of different furniture and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he spent the entire time just looking around the set going, okay, what can I do that would be funny? But then when it came to shooting it, it was basically, just one long flow. So it's an art form. Mm. It definitely is an art form. Mm. This was crap.
Yeah, I was waiting for it. I could see you and I'm going, what are your thoughts?
I genuinely hated this.
Yeah.
I have notes. So I was really interested. I was like, oh, man, I'm so excited for this episode because the opening credits looked great.
Yeah.
I was like, heck yeah, let's do this. This is going to hit well.
And because the intro is different from the normal intro.
Yeah. It looked really good. The intro ticking boxes.
Was done like a video nasty intro. Yeah,
it was great. I hated it. Mm-hmm. I hated every moment of it. The scratching noises of the ears, the way they talked, their accents really irked me. The fact that they had to scream everything because they thought that was funny. And then they either went really heavy into like crude jokes, or there was, I think when Neil walked out in a dress and everyone was like, ah, ha, 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 or like, they were like, oh no, we all have to no longer be virgins. How are we going to lose our virginity? Oh, there's only four men on set.
And they're all pretending that they're not. And then they're all like, yeah.
And I don't know. For me, it didn't sit right. Maybe am I a Zoomer now?
I think like most of it was some of the more slapsticky gags, like the course too short. Let's move the entire house. And appreciating that kind of ridiculous.
And it's funny, like I don't get into Bottom, which was a follow up that had Kate Edmondson and Rick Mayall, and I never got into Bottom because to me it felt like most of the show was that slapstick fighting that they would do, that Rick Mayall and Aid Edmondson would always do, and that, you know, ridiculous where it's like, pull the whole window out the house and smash it over someone's head, and I'm just like, I'm not here for this.
It just didn't hit at all.
And I think we were kind of walking in, you were walking in knowing that you were going to try and give it a red hot go, but you'd already watched the first one and wasn't a fan.
Yeah.
You'd been pushed to watch it by people in the past and were not a fan. Okay. Yeah, and so I could see you giving it a red hot go, but I could see you not feeling it.
I legitimately was down for the little ad bit initially as well, the two women. Then it was like, as my job as a stay-at-home mum and this, and I'm like, I'm already checked out. And then it was pain away, and at the end it's like, and if you ever feel pain through menstruation, just get a hysterectomy. And I got mad.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah. I got so triggered. Because do you know how hard it is to get a hysterectomy?
Yeah.
Angus to sign off on a piece of paper.
Oh, because, but, of course, being the partner. Oh, what if they want babies later? Who cares?
And if I didn't have Angus, it'd have to be my dad.
And the interesting thing is that the whole point of that ad is fighting back against that stuff. It's understanding. Yeah. And back in those days, you would have these pain relief ads for Panadol or whatever, and they would always allude to what it was, and then for her to go, she's talking about period pain. It's like, you can't actually say it out loud. You have to talk about this, all this pain that women get that we can't really discuss in an ad. And it's just like,
it's just thinking, like, in the way edgy comedy works. It probably was edgy for the time, and now it's edgy the wrong way now.
That's it. It was edgy for the time because all of the things that they're saying, it was parroting the stuff that
you couldn't do. It definitely felt like it was entirely opposite. Like, I felt dirty watching it the entire time because the house was super filthy. The bathtub gave me the ick.
Yeah.
Like, everything just felt uncomfortable. I felt very...
And I'm sure for 1984, it would have been like, oh, it's going against how clean the rest of
the sitcom
world it would have been.
That's it!
Yeah.
And the fact that they saw punks as filth as well, I think, back in the day.
And basically the idea of a character whose entire ethos is let's punch things would have been very radical and dangerous and so on for the time. But the radicalness has disappeared. The reasons why... It's a lot of the edgy comedy is funny against stuff which no longer matters, and so it just ages badly because it's funny against an enemy that doesn't exist, but the whole bits of it are what funny against now.
Relevance.
So, like, a bunch of 20-somethings joking about losing their virginities would have been risque then, and now it's just so banal today.
And, I mean, it's showcasing punks as the way that people would have seen punks back in the day as being... filthy, unkept people.
Like violence and
everything. Or uni students. It's this is typical uni students.
Whereas in reality, people who are punks are generally like super kind-hearted.
Or maybe it's just a change of punks, because I'm guessing punks like 40 years ago may have been tied to white supremacist movements, and therefore that kind of...
No, not at all. It's more anti-establishment type of stuff.
The whole racism side of things is a much more modern... kind of, they've stolen that punk movement, and there's a lot of punk, really popular punk bands that have songs like Nazis F*** Off. That's a big thing.
Oh, the Ramones have several songs that are anti-Nazi. And one of the things that I saw, we may have talked about it in the last podcast, is when you actually look down on it, and I don't know whether it was an intentional or whether they just didn't know the demographic they were portraying, but Vivian's a complete poser.
I think also pointing about the fact that Rick was a major poser because he's been
Vivian is dressed like a punk, but he's got heavy metal branding on his top, which is something that a punk wouldn't be into, and the things that he does and the things that he says, it's almost like he's trying to be a punk, but he's not actually a punk at all.
That's kind of all of them, though.
I wonder whether that's intentional.
Neil's not a puzzle.
Or is it just that they didn't understand?
And they're just going off of what
other people see punks as, but they themselves weren't punks.
They're doing the demographic, but they don't quite understand the demographic enough to do it properly.
Because
that could be even just in the characters themselves. That could be a character choice.
I feel like that they're all deliberately meant to be posers. They're meant to be not getting it. I feel like that's deliberate. And that's part of the comedy, is that they're not getting it right.
And none of them are actually friends with anyone in the demographic. I think the closest you kind of get to that is Neil invites his friend to the party, and then his friend gets sucked into a vacuum cleaner or something. But even, like, Rick invites his friends to the party that he wants to impress, and they all think he's a complete idiot. And that's the same. They're part of this niche demographic, but they don't actually interact with anyone in that demographic.
I feel like, for me, this is giving... What was that nerd show that everyone... that wasn't a nerd like?
Big Bang Theory.
This is giving Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
Right.
Both were absolutely poor representations of the genre, but Big Bang Theory is definitely a lot more harmful in certain aspects as well. But yeah, I definitely feel like it gives Big Bang Theory.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a little bit of that, but it doesn't have that sort of awkward... I didn't think it was quite as awkward as Big Bang Theory.
No. So this is why Big Bang Theory is
very free-flowing.
Yes, but Big Bang Theory is more, are harmful in the sense that this is what an autistic person is, which means every autistic person's like this, and every nerd is an autistic person and stuff. And so they were relying more on that. So it was more the representation of that group and misrepresentation as well. Whereas this is, I don't know, maybe it adds more to their character to see it the way that Jeanette does in the whole, like, they're just posing, but I feel like it's just, from my point of view, it looks like it's just misrepresentation of the punk.
Ben Elton probably wasn't the most, he's a fairly shallow individual.
Yes.
I do wonder if it is the misrepresentation, but it does come across the way Jeanette portrays it. They're deliberately
posing.
They're
definitely all posers. Yeah. Mike, is it Mike?
He's talking about how he gets the video, but in fact he's just gone down to the video store and he's making it sound like some criminal deal.
He's always acting like he's shady than he really is.
Yes.
I think I liked him the most, though, out of all of them.
He's portraying a personality type, which is the slick business dealer, sunglasses sort
thing. The charlatan. Yeah.
Almost like that 80s... catalyst
But I thought out of all of them he definitely was the funniest, and I think that's just because it was a overused stereotype that everyone kind of went, like, it was more accurate maybe as a stereotype.
I found him forgettable when I was younger, and then I went back and watched it when I was older. I actually appreciate his character a lot
more. Completely forgettable when I first watched it.
I guess because he's not standing out. Compared to the main characters yelling at each other and punching each other in the face as a form of foreplay.
Do you think the reason we find him more interesting now is because of our own friends group, so it reflects more on us? Like, everybody else is being super loud, and then we're kind of just sitting there going, yes.
I would say it's because his character is the one that still exists in the real world.
He holds up better.
We can all picture someone like him being on LinkedIn. That's the thing.
He'd
have a LinkedIn account. He exists in the real world.
I know Neil's in the New Age circles, man. And I loved Neil when I was a little kid in the 80s. But now, then when I got older, I was like, oh, I'm so not a fan of him. But then it's like, I see those people out and about and I'm like,
I think Neil is the most real, actually. I think he's very real. And I think he's the victim of all, he's the punching bag for the whole rest of the group.
Vivian... the best version of Vivian is actually, like, because the Doug Anthony All-Stars, they did a very, very similar style to this, and I think that was more...
It's a similar era.
Accessible. Yeah. And I feel like Paul McDermott doing the whole angry anarchist sort of thing was more believable because Paul lived in that kind of world. He was an artist. Well, he still is, but he's an artist. He writes books. He writes...
Vivian or Rick? Paul McDermott.
Vivian's
more like,
the punk one with the hair. And I feel like him raging against capitalism and, you know, just the world and the establishment.
I see Rick, but if Rick was, he actually understood what he was talking about and was well-read and, and not a complete wet blanket, you know, it's,
That's the thing.
And
I feel like
socialist Marxist.
That's not anything you know about socialism and Marxism, but just doesn't like the political climate and goes, oh, I can blame Thatcher. I didn't even know what that means, but I can blame Thatcher. In comparison,
Very much virtue signalling with Rick as a character.
So I think this is done better elsewhere.
That character was
definitely done better elsewhere, and in my eyes it doesn't hold up.
I felt that the whole thing, I mean, there were lots of allusions to things that are not current, the VHS, the check, the paper, they talk about paper and they say, will you accept a check? It's just things that are just not...
The coffin couch is cool.
But I felt that it's something you don't concentrate too heavily on. It's something that is you just let wash over you and it forms an overall experience. In the end, it's shock, chaos, a big mess and absolute lunacy. You sit there blinking afterwards going, what the hell just happened? That's the experience.
And a sitcom with a live band as well was something that's
normal, right? Wasn't it?
Yeah.
The time?
Yeah.
No. So what happened is they didn't have anything in the budget for a sitcom, but they did for a variety show. And they went, we can make this a variety show.
Yeah. So that's what I said.
All they needed was a live band.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they got sketches on the screen.
Yeah, they've got the little sketches, which I think they probably would have done anyway, because that's how the show rolled. I think
the monkeys is probably the only
thing. Yeah. And they actually got more money as a variety show than they did as a sitcom.
Yeah.
So they went, whoosh, we can make this. And they just threw a live band in there. And then as it got to season two, they had bigger names. Madness were pitching for their own TV show, Monkeys Like TV Show, and I think that's why they were more in season one. Yeah. And then as they got to season two, they got like Motorhead and The Damned and, you know, some of these bands which were a lot bigger.
Cliff Richard.
They never actually got Cliff Richard, though. Oh, they did. That was Live Aid. No, that was not Live Aid. What was the show that they do? The Children in Need thing that they do?
Yeah,
that was Cliff a fundraiser Richard. For that, yeah. Because they talk about Cliff Richard through the whole season. Yeah. It's Rick's favourite show.
Kenzie, what did you think?
Of what?
I think she
put her headphones on 2 minutes into it and just checked right out.
Yeah.
You didn't vibe it?
Nah.
No?
That's fair.
Do you think it's, what is it, Skibbity?
No.
I don't know. Skibbity, Ohio. Skibbity toilet. I don't know.
I'm
learning.
Skibbity toilet is a head out of a toilet.
You told me it's a bad thing. I'm trying to say.
Skibbity is a bad thing.
Do you think it has Riz? Now I know how my parents felt.
Yeah.
So bad.
No, this is definitely.
I have no Riz, guys. Yeah. No Riz.
Wait,
that's it. Kenzie's ratioed you.
Oh my god. Alpha. Do you think I have Riz?
Yes.
Leave this in.
I'm a parent. I'm not supposed to. I'm supposed to be cringe.
When you said Skibbity Ohio and stuff like that, and you don't say that out of the blue.
Yeah.
I was asking you a question.
Context, lady. Context.
And of course, there are some adults who intentionally do the slang badly to make the kids upset.
Oh, have you seen those videos lately where they get boomers to advertise stuff using young talk?
They did it for the National Museum. It was so funny. Yeah.
They did one for the Minato Zoo, I think, as well. Yeah, and it was just nice. Man. They're describing one of the animals library? And they're going very mindful, very demure.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That animal's got ears.
Yes.
Angus, what do you think the food is for this episode?
I'm not sure. Because of the episode?
Oh, nasty food.
Because of the episode?
I was thinking the way down because it's going to sound coarse, but have the food be vomit.
Bertie bought several flavoured beans.
Lentils scratched off the floor.
I was going to say like a cheesy lentil that's kind of a bit bland and like you have too much and you're like, I'm done. This is overwhelming.
Yeah, okay.
And like, it has to be served up on the floor.
Straight off of the carpet. Scooped out of the lady.
Yeah.
It's getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Well,
I didn't mind it. I do enjoy it. I think the characters, while they are heavily accentuated, are just fun to watch in a comedic sense. I disagree with Baylor. I don't think they need to have weight and meaning behind them. I think they can just
fight.
See. So yeah, I still think Vivian is actually one of my favourite characters, just because he is so chaotic and destructive in like a very unexpected sense. I don't think you'd find any other comedy TV show where they need to rebuild the set every episode. I was going, oh my god, the amount of effort they must put into making these walls that are meant to, like, you build them once and that's it, you leave them up there. But they make them destructible, so they use real bricks opposed to just painting on a wooden set palette.
I think the first episode they completely destroyed the set.
Yeah.
About them destroying the house because they're being evicted.
Yeah.
And they put so much effort into being destructive that it's just the amount of times they need to rebuild those sets, man. Those poor people.
With that budget.
Yeah, with that budget. But yes, so I enjoy it. I find the characters fun. There are definitely gross elements to it, but I think that's also part of the comedy of it.
I feel like I put this forward to redeem it, and I feel like people like it less than the first one we did.
I prefer this one.
I did too. Yeah, it is very chaotic. I'm not sure I'd sit down and watch it ever again. But watching this reminded me of why when I first saw it.
Mm.
because it was just so radically different to anything done before. Yeah. It was, and that was part of its appeal, I think.
Yeah.
And it's because it's no longer new and radically different. It's lost a bit of that, but there's still aspects that are funny. I laughed a couple of times. There were things I found.
I was definitely laughing at things throughout the episode. Some of it was like, "Yeah, this is a missed joke."
Yeah. But
I found enough of the jokes landed that.
So a mixed bag for me, I think.
Yeah.
Mm. Mixed bag here too. Yeah. I thought it was more not individual jokes, but the overall feel.
Yeah. I'm also just wondering what the equivalent would be for today. Because I'm sure if you were like scrolling through your TikTok feed, it would be just as anarchic and incoherent in terms of cohesiveness as a plot. But it would be not like this at all.
Any singular media.
Because I'm sure swapping between random sketches and then just swapping between yelling at each other and Stepstick to a piece which is more parodying the sketch where they had the guy coming in and dying and they're joking about that.
But they make that part of the chaos.
Even
the music clip was part of the chaos. It was just chaos.
Yeah, but just the fact that, like, that's the kind of chaos you get when going through your social media feed on a day.
Because
you go from sweet comedy to crudeness to all this social media.
So in a way, you'd think surely that would work today because
we're
used to jumping around. But
but it's more having to keep with certain character sets and having to keep in terms of comedy and having to have some jokes that say. I thought when Neil was going to pick up the phone, it was going to be the bit where he spends like half an hour trying to get to the phone and it finally hangs up before he gets there and he gets upset about it. I thought that was going to be the joke.
Yep.
And because like I can think of, say, certain TikTok or Vines where they tell the joke and have that work by itself without needing to be in part of a huge, long-leaning storyline.
Yeah.
I mean, we're like, oh, you tell a joke, and we need to tie it into the rest of the plot that way.
So I was expecting it to be, sorry, you've got the wrong number sort of thing. Like, side of things. I was expecting not just the answer the quick question and then hang up, and then that's it.
Which fit in with the other sketch that they had.
Yeah.
But that's also what's good about it is that it's not what you expect.
Yes.
And you're expecting something and they'll do something different. And I think that's part of the cleverness is they do go against even now what we expect.
But just because what we expect has changed because I can think of half a dozen different kinds of media makers on social media, on TikTok, who would make those jokes differently in a way that they couldn't have possibly thought of in the 80s. And so the kind of anarchy and isolationness and weirdness and incohesiveness doesn't work today.
There's a few shows that are kind of a little bit sketch comedy, but they have a common theme, but they're just not as chaotic as this. So something like Portlandia or Letterkenny, which I've only watched maybe one episode of, that's Canadian.
Oh, it basically... It's
Portlandia's got Fred Armisen and Carrie Brownstein.
I've not even heard of that.
That's actually a really good one. It's a sketch comedy all about different strange characters in Portland.
Didn't know who the actors were.
Fred Armisen, you'd recognise him if you saw him around.
Basically, Portlandia is basically hipsters and joking around that kind of environment to the point where it doesn't really work anymore. Don't remember some of the gags that they had in the episodes.
Portland, Washington?
Portland, Oregon.
Oregon, that's it. Yeah. Just above Washington.
Yeah, basically, I remember John Oliver joking it's where teenagers go to retire. No, that's from the show. No. Yeah, basically, it's the kind of world that doesn't exist anymore thanks to...
Gentrification or something?
It's kind of gentrification and the fact that we're basically now... cynical as freak because of the Trump administration. So that kind of moments where you could, be a massive hipster doesn't really work anymore because it's reached mainstream and it kind of sad offishness doesn't really work when things are going terribly in the US right now.
I think back in the day, Portland had that kind of, Keep Portland Weird or something like that. They really encouraged that kind of the weird eccentricities and the art community and things like that. And so it was this show based around, they had lots of different sketches about the different types of people that lived in Portland and stuff like that. So, and that was similar to this, but it was more just, it was probably a little bit more like a cross between Young Ones and Little Britain.
I think also the best caricaturish characters that the two main actors played was kind of sitcom-y because they would have the same character the whole way through and kind of have a storyline there. But otherwise, it's pretty much just a sketch show, though.
Yeah, that's it. I'm trying to think. It'd be more like a sketch show, but with recurring characters.
Yeah.
But not in a full frontal fast forward way or something. That's showing my age.
Okay. Yeah. So that
Let's wrap it up.
That was Young Ones. And we'll see you next episode.
Until then.
Until then.
Bye. 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 Bye.